Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And by Comporium.
Wow, how about that?
Comporium, your neighborhood tech giant. Our thanks as well to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Very pleased to have with us today on this, the 125th anniversary of Comporium Communications, Bryant Barnes, who's the president of Comporium. And I can't believe that you and I are sitting here 25 years. I can remember you and I doing something together on the 100th anniversary. Have you gotten any older in the last 25 years?
We have aged a little bit.
Our hair is a little bit grayer, is it not? Yeah, all right. So, Brian, tell everybody a little bit about your background.
Okay, I was born and raised in Rock Hill.
Yep.
Graduate of Richmond Drive Elementary, Sullivan Middle School, and Rock Hill High School.
There you are.
From there, I went to Clemson, got an engineering degree, and took a job with CNS Bank in Columbia and worked on an MBA that process for several years, and came back to what was then Rock Hill Telephone Company in 1979, and I've been moving up through the ranks with the company ever since.
Well, good for you. Now, you know, most people do not know the story about the history of Comporium, and I've asked you to take a few minutes and tell it, because how many local businesses do we know of, if any, that have been around 125 years. So go ahead, the floor is yours.
We had the Secretary of State come up and recognize the ones that were 100 years old, and it was like less than 10 in the state that have made it to 100 years.
Wow.
So
it's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
One of the things that I love when I come into the Comporium office building is the collage of pictures that you have up and down the hallways that tell the story pictorially of how it all started. So go ahead.
Well, you know, Rock Hill was the automobile capital of the South with the Anderson Automobile.
Yeah, it was.
Made right here in Rock Hill. And John Gary Anderson saw this telephone up in Philadelphia, I think at the time, said it'd be pretty neat to have in Rock Hill. So he tried to get the Bell Company to put an exchange here, and they wouldn't do it. So he bought he had telephones put in his factory and down at the train depot.
All right.
And when he heard the train come by, he would check to see if any of his parts came in. Everybody thought that was a pretty good idea and started hooking on to it, and they added some more stations, and finally they decided to incorporate. And he and Mr. A.R. Smith and J.M. Cherry formed the Rock Hill Telephone Company on December 10th, 1894.
Isn't that something? 1894.
Yeah, and they ran it for about 4 years, and then it got to be where it became a headache for them, and they decided to sell it to Paul Workman. So he owned it in 1898 and operated it for about 14 years until 1912, when he sold it to my great-grandparents, Mr. E.L. Barnes and Mary Sanders Barnes, in March 1st, 1912. And we've operated the company ever since.
He was the first
one of the family that was president of the company. My grandfather followed that, my dad followed that, and I followed my dad. I'm part of the fourth generation of the family.
That's really quite an accomplishment. And I would imagine that your great-grandfather, when he did this, people were probably looking at him and saying, "Are you out of your mind? Nobody else could make that thing work. What makes you think you can make it work?"
Well, you go back and listen to all the problems that they had back then, and it was a lot of problems, and they had problems with city council back then in 1912. Can you imagine that?
Some things never change, right? Well, here you are. Now, you during the course of that historical review, you evolved from more than just the Rock Hill Telephone Company. Tell me that story.
Well, when we first bought the company, it was what they called a crank system. So you had the telephones with the crank on it that you'd crank and go to an operator. And in the 30s, we converted to the battery board, where rather than having a crank, you had electric battery on the telephones. And then in 1949, we converted to the dial, dial switch. Those electromechanical switches that you hear clicking and clocking and keep people connected. And you could go in the office and you could kind of tell what was going on in the city. If it was snowing, you could tell because it started clicking more, a little bit more. People calling next door to see if it was snowing next door on things. But, we progressed through there through the 40s and 50s and put in electronic switching in the mid-70s and digital switching in the 80s. And we're just now switching out our core routers right now for a whole new system. It's going to go from a ring technology to a mesh technology, which will give us far more redundancy in our network than we've got right now.
My gosh. Whew. So how did it go from Rock Hill to Fort Mill to Lancaster Telephone Companies?
If you look at a map of the telephone companies in South Carolina back from the 50s, it was all over the place. And as people got older, different reasons they decided to sell or do something. And we knew a number of families that owned telephone companies in the state, and they knew we were pretty good operators. And when they decided they wanted to sell, we knew that we were good operators and we treat our employees right. They'd come talk to us about whether we were interested in buying. So in the 30s, we got invested in the Lancaster Telephone Company with the Thomason family. Okay. In mid-1940s. Fellow that owned the Fort Mill Telephone Company, his son died in World War II, and he decided he didn't want to have any more. So he talked to my grandfather about buying the company back in the 40s. At that time, in 2004, we invested in a company called PBT, which was owned by the Neese family down around Lexington, South Carolina. So we expanded into that. And most recently, 2009, we acquired Citizens Telephone Company from the Picklesheimers family in Brevard, North Carolina.
The famous white squirrel.
That's white squirrel, correct. Correct. So we did that, and we got into the cable TV business back in the 60s. And I remember riding with my dad up in Maggie Valley, North Carolina, and he pointed to me and said, you know what that is? And I said, no, I don't know what that is. He said, that's cable TV. So they can't get cable service up here called the Mountains, and we're thinking about getting involved in it.
Here we go. So you have cable operations of all of those,
all
your services, and that's something. So, with that all being said, you, I heard this said the other day. One of the hallmarks that I have perceived about Comporium over all these years is you guys, from a technology standpoint, you're always out there on the cutting edge of this stuff, and. Thank heavens you are, because the world's changing so quickly that if you hadn't done what you've done over all these years, all your customers would be way behind the curve.
Well, some of our secret sauce is it generally doesn't happen in Rock Hill first. And if you keep your eyes open and look around the country, you'll see in Atlanta or New York or Los Angeles, something start to pop up and get traction. And it gives us a little bit of lead time to see how we can fit our industry into that product. So we watch it. We know what's coming. We see if it's going to get traction, and we figure out how we can plug it in. We can bring that to Rock Hill.
The level of emerging technologies is you're smiling already. I mean, it's just almost mind-boggling what has happened here in the last, let's just say, 10 years. It's probably been longer than that. Agreed.
Yeah, it's changed. Just look at what's happened to internet speeds.
Oh my God.
20 years ago, it was dial-up, with the modems that made the noise and all that stuff. And around 2000, 2001, we got into cable modems at a blazing speed of 1 megabit. and it's grown now to where we're offering gigabit service for about 5 or 6 years now.
Jeez.
Then in 2000, I think it's 2004, 2005, we made a decision that we weren't going with copper and coax into subdivisions anymore. We're going strictly with fiber. So we could, for about 15 years now, that's all we've been doing in our areas is going fiber into the new developments.
And people need to realize that that's no small undertaking financially. I mean, that's expensive stuff.
It's huge.
And so it all depends, I guess, upon the volume that'll be using that service as to whether or not you're going to get a reasonable payback.
That's correct. It's a density kind of thing.
So with that being said, you all have maintained yourself as an independent telephone company, which is, in the world of AT&T and Ma Bell and all that kind of stuff, is still a rarity, or is that an overstatement?
Yeah, they're fewer and fewer of them all the time. We've, like I said, we're a family-owned business, and we look back over the history of them. We did a lot of things right in just keeping it within the family. And about 20 years ago, we brought in a a consultant to just tell us about family businesses and what's the dynamic of family businesses. And we found out that a lot of them are pretty textbook, have the same kind of problems. Doesn't matter what industry it is, they have the same kind of problems, and they're what I call the big three of the reasons that they sell. You know, one of them is that they can't get along with each other. You know, they're squabbling all the time, so just to sell the daggum thing. You know, one of it is they don't take care of their estate taxes. All of a sudden they built something up, the founder dies, and all of a sudden they've got to pay a 50% bill to the government. Mm-hmm. And they can't do it, so they got to sell the company to pay the taxes on the thing. And the other one is the one that we could do the most about, I think, is no family members interested in the building, in the business. So when they're not in the business, they decide to sell on the thing. So we've got some programs that we put in place to get our next generation interested in the company. So we encourage them to come work during the summers as interns, right, along with other people and see the business. And they'll come back, and as long as they behave themselves, they'll have a position with the company. And then after they graduate, as long as they're going to school, they can work there. But once they graduate, they need to go out for 2 years and work someplace else. And if they want to, then they come back and apply for a job and got to meet the same standards, yeah, as every other employee that we hire.
And I tell you what, that's smart to make them go out and work somewhere else for a couple of years and find out what the world's like in a place not operated by the family. That's a smart thing. And I know that you've got, and I'm not going to use his name here because I don't want to embarrass him, but you've got one family member who's working with your company right now, and his whole approach is a smart one. He said, I want the lowest level job. I want to be out there. I want to crawl under the houses. I want to install this. I want to do this and do that. I want to learn from the ground up so that I know everything about this business if the opportunity presents itself for me to move on up the food chain. That's smart.
Yeah, and that's what we do with our interns. They sweep floors. They clean telephones. They do just entry-level jobs.
Yeah. Well, the fact that you are, what do we calculate, fourth generation?
Fourth generation. Fourth. I'm in the fourth generation. We've got members of the fifth generation working in the company now, and we've got sixth generation coming along that we want to cultivate and get them interested in the business also.
Well, you've not only cultivating them to understand the importance of staying current with the technologies, but you all at Comporium have got a legacy of giving, and I know you're smiling, you don't like talking about this, but that's my question. You all are very supportive of the community in more ways than I can possibly begin to enumerate here.
We've always believed that you need to give back. You know, we see that if it's good for the community, it's going to end up being good for us. So we see if the community gets better, we're going to end up being better also. We've had We've done a number of pretty good sized transactions where we've done a sale, and when we do that, we pull off a percentage of that and put it in our foundation. So we're doing about I think $1.2 million annually in contributions to the community, mm-hmm, in the areas that we serve.
And for those who want the best example of that, I want you just to walk down to Fountain Park, and every time you look at that fountain dancing with the way it dances, that was a gift from Comporium, and probably the most visible and significant gift that I can think of.
Well, there was a proposed high-density housing project to go on there that didn't think made a lot of sense, and we kind of spoke against it, and it didn't go through. And a couple months later, I got a call from the mayor, and I thought he was going to come jump on me about scuttling the project a little bit or working against it and everything like that. He just said, what do you think it ought to be on that parking lot? So he threw it back at us, and I said, let me think about it. So we got together with some of our folks and some of the city planners and said, you know, that's the only open spot in Rock Hill. We need to kind of preserve that area, and a water feature would be pretty neat there. So we worked with the city to work out an agreement where we would build a building that they would get tax revenue off of. They would build a park, and we'd make a contribution to put the fountain in. And it's turned out better than I ever imagined.
Oh, my gosh. I mean,
how that goes.
Your dad and your grandfather and your great-grandpa, if they were here, they would just be so tickled to see what that fountain has done for the community, because, I mean, it's the gathering place for virtually anything. Even on a Sunday afternoon when people just want to go out and roll in the grass.
Yeah, and the Panther thing was announced there.
Oh, yes.
It's a pretty big event.
Yeah, you think? It was a pretty big event. All right, so talk to me somewhat about emerging technologies, which is something that I'm sure your desk is full of every day. this is coming down the pike, this is coming down the pike, should we get involved with this, should we not get involved with this? How do you handle all that?
Well, we're in a changing environment right now. We started out with wireline telephones and kind of dumb things that are, you know, connected to the end of a wire, and people are seeing that they don't need those quite as much. So they're taking those out on things, and they're going to Internet connections. So everything's going to run over a digital connection, you know, to the house. And that's what we've kind of said is going to be important, is we need to get a piece of fiber to every house in the area. And that's going to be kind of future-proof going forward. So everything that comes out that runs on those things takes over. The security system changed over about 12 years ago, where it now runs over the Internet rather than just a telephone line. So more things are going to come that just connect it to the house and make it a smart house. You can just look and almost find anything to control something in your house, from your garage doors to your thermostats to almost anything.
Yeah. I mean, if you walk into one of your retail stores and look on the wall, you know, we can give you an automatic lock. We can turn the lights up. We can turn the thermostat up and down. I mean, the list goes on and on about how smart you can make your house. All right. We're going to go ahead and take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care. Find out more at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. All right. Now, we're all teed up for this. We broadcast live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Even people from Delaware can figure this out if they're looking over here. Well, they're not. We have fresh subs and salads 7 days a week. How do we do it, everybody? 1, 2, 3.
Slice.
Garden. Not bad. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Hey, Manning, I hear the gyros are back at Substation 2.
That's right, Alex, and they are great. They're made to order, served hot, on warm, soft pita bread with creamy tzatziki sauce, onion, and tomato. And I can't wait to get one.
Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Now available from Founders Federal Credit Union, Dividend Amp. Dividend Amp is the easiest way to fund Founders Loyalty Select, our highest yield savings account. Enroll in Dividend Amp today, and the dividends from your eligible interest-bearing accounts may qualify for Dividend Amp transfers. Log into Founders Online to enroll today. Relax, we're helping you amp up your savings. Account restrictions apply, federally insured by NCUA.
Does your business need to operate more efficiently? Whether you're uploading or sharing large data files, using web-based applications, or streaming high-definition video, businesses demand more bandwidth. Comporium's business class internet with speeds up to 1 gig and dedicated Ethernet options can meet any of these needs. Keep your business growing and growing efficiently. Call Comporium Business Services and learn more about business class internet options, or go online to Comporium.com.
Good Pharmacy, taking care of families for 4 generations.
This is pharmacist Kia Hicklin. We have 6 pharmacists that are knowledgeable, friendly, and ready to get to know your family and their needs.
My mom loves Good Pharmacy.
Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue, Rock Hill.
Gold Hill Emergency Department is opening soon in Fort Mill. This is Michelle Walk, Emergency Department Director at Piedmont Medical Center. This January, Piedmont Medical Center will open the area's first standalone emergency room. Open 24/7, 365, the Gold Hill ED location will offer the same services as a hospital-based emergency room. There are 12 treatment spaces where our team of emergency medical professionals will be ready to treat any medical condition or injury you or your family need when it matters most. Visit goldhiller.com to learn more.
You may know about Substation 2's party subs and party trays, but Charlie Ruffalo has other ideas as well for your next catering.
The finger sub tray is basically we take any one of our regular sandwiches and cut them up into bite-sized pieces and arrange them attractively on a tray for your dining pleasure.
Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across Winthrop. We have the peanut gallery over here making too much noise. Brian Barnes is with us. He is the president and CEO of Comporium, which today is marking 125 years of service to the community. I think that's just absolutely remarkable. I told you I was going to ask you this question. Why is it being kept such a secret? I mean, I thought you all would be out there boom, boom, booming.
We're going to have a celebration in March.
In March? Well, if you do it on the 31st, that's my birthday, and I can be there.
There's so much stuff going on in December.
Yeah.
We just thought it'd be better to push it around to the first of the year. March is a good time.
Well, I want to tell you that OTS Media appreciates that because your 125th would have dwarfed our 75th. That would have been no fun. Okay, so we were talking about emerging technologies, and you mentioned cable TV. And I know you guys are, again, on the forefront of technology. Are you all involved with this emerging technology called Stream TV?
We are. The cable TV system we've got now, broadcasts everything in a linear fashion. So it takes up a lot of bandwidth to do, 200, 300 stations side by side to go to every house, which everybody doesn't watch every house. So what we're switching to is something called Stream TV, where it runs over the internet. So you'll have a connection, broadband connection to your house. And you'll tune your channels from the central office, and it will deliver the signal out over the internet to your TV set. And everything's going to be wireless, so no more wires to the TV sets. And it runs over an Amazon Fire Stick. So incorporated into the Amazon platform of Netflix and all these other things, there'll be a Comporium app that you just access to get to the stations. So we'll have that done. We're going to price a little bit differently. We're going to price it by stream. So rather than charging by set or whatever, it'll be how many sets you're watching simultaneously. So you might have 10 or 15 sets in your house, or 3 or 4 or something like that, but you might only need 1 or 2 streams because you're only 2 people in the house.
All right.
So that's all you need to subscribe to, because you're not going to be watching more than 1 TV at a time or 2 TVs at a time. I don't think, but you might move around all that. So it's a little more flexibility. We think that'll give customers, make it a little bit easier for them.
But, one thing that people do not understand, I don't think, about the cable television business, and I'm sure it's similar to Stream TV, is you guys pay enormous fees every month. Look at him smiling again from ear to ear. I mean, let me just mention ESPN. I mean, that's probably still your biggest one, that you have to write a check to them every month for every subscriber.
And this was 10 or 15 years ago, but we were negotiating a contract with them at the time, and they said, if y'all will sign a 5-year deal, we'll hold the increases down to 20% a year.
Hello?
20% a year.
Oh, my God.
So what the industry has turned into is about 7 or 8 providers that have all the channels, Disney, Viacom, and others, and all the contracts come at the same time, and when they come to see you about a contract, they'll say, here's what the price is going to be, and you kind of either take it or leave it. And if you leave it, they turn you off and you go black. And they seem to do that right around the time the NFL starts up, or the Masters is getting ready to go, or the Kentucky Derby, or something like that. And people say they got to have it, and we do the best we can, but it's just been up and away on the content. 25 years ago, the content took up about 30 or 35% of the cost of the system. Now it's closer to 80-85%.
Right.
The cost of the system has gone up about with the consumer price index, but the program is just out of control.
So every one of us has competition, probably more competition than we've ever had before. And when it comes to cable television, with this new stream service, you'll be competing with people you haven't been competing with before?
We'll still do it in this area, but it'll be on par with Netflix. So we'll have an interface where you can get switch between Comporium Network and the Netflix or
right.
the other apps
right.
pretty seamlessly. It'll be one place that you do it. We're going to put the have the DVRs in the cloud, so you'll have all your movies stored in the cloud. So when you store it on a device and the device goes bad, you just lose all your shows. So now that won't happen anymore.
Ah.
Better.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Improvement.
So when is this going to roll out?
We're going to start rolling it out in new installs in February of this year, start converting people out in late spring. And by the end of 2022, we should have everybody converted in our area to this new system. So your new cable box will be an Amazon Fire Stick. So no more cable boxes, no more wires.
So what happens to the infrastructure that you have all over these three counties? I mean, for the cable. Well, it's not cable. I mean, you're sending that through.
Well, we're going to use the same network, but we can deliver about a gig of speed now over the coax out to different people's houses.
Right.
When we take down the linear video, that just takes up a tremendous amount of bandwidth, and I'm told we can get up to about 3 gig on that same network just by taking the linear video down.
Jeez, wow. Now, one of the hallmarks of Comporium since I've been in town, which has been 35 years, is that magic word service. You guys have an impeccable record of getting out same day to fix a problem, whatever it is, whatever that problem is. I always remember my good friend Joe Viola swinging around at 2 o'clock in the morning when we got hit by lightning 25 years ago, and we had a whole crew there at 3:30 in the morning trying to get us back up and running. I mean, that is something that absolutely sets you apart from any of the competitors you have.
Yeah, it's we don't do it every time. There are a few exceptions to this, but we started a policy a long time ago that if you call a trouble in before 5, you know, we'll clear it before we go home that night.
Yeah.
So exactly. We miss a few that we got some parts or something like that we've got to get that might take us a day or so to get it in, but generally we'll get you back up in service in that day. We just not important as people.
Well, but again, it really sets you all apart, mm-hmm. because if you try to call anybody else, it would be days before they got there.
Well, it might be. We're not going to have anybody in the area till next Wednesday. And you might go a week without service until a technician can show up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that is something that I would imagine you always have your eye on, because as the population is continuing to grow, you need more service people to do the work.
It is.
Okay.
Continue to grow in that area.
All right. The other thing that I wanted to get in before we run out of time here is you all have a really remarkable vision for downtown. Now, who would have ever thought that over where the Bleacher used to be and in the downtown area, we'd be seeing $530 million worth of construction all at one time? And that's just part of it, because you guys have got some other things that you're thinking.
It's absolutely fabulous. We helped with the park. We put up a building next to it. We've got one space left that we need to fill up in the building on the first floor. We got some prospects we're working on that. But once we got that, you know, we're looking at probably a 4-star hotel on the corner right there where the old C&S Bank used to be, and First Citizens Bank used to be right there. Looking at that right there with another parking deck, and probably take the CN2 building down. We're coming around, and then we pass by the church. And we get over to the other corner there. We own that lot there where the skating rink is on. Okay. City asked us about using that. Said, heck yeah, y'all can use that thing. You can put a skating rink on it. That works out fine. So they've been doing that for the last several years. But the city's got the fire department right behind there. And we're looking at feasibility studies on fundraising now to put a performing arts theater in right there. But we think that'll make it just a wonderful square right there.
But you're also looking at maybe replicating the Fountain Park Plaza building another building like that?
Well, we've got a one-story building on our operations center that's on one corner there, and I've told them that we're going to work counterclockwise around the fountain. And when you get the Gorman Arts Theater done, we'll talk about taking that building down.
Okay.
Right there, and putting something that's a high-rise. But we acquired the Elks Club property right behind that, so we've got some land right behind there to expand on that. So we're looking at a high rise there somewhere down the road.
Fascinating story. So what have we missed? I mean, you guys have got more ideas down there than you could shake a stick. I mean, do you have a group of, I don't know, a dozen people sit around and just throw things up on the wall and say, what do you think about this? What do you think about that?
I think you've hit on a lot on it. We got something working on that comes out of the Yellow Pages. And when we first did Yellow Pages, we started changing people's telephone numbers in the Yellow Page ad so we could track how well it was doing.
Right.
On there. Yellow Pages are coming out, so we've moved into digital media on the thing. We've got something now called Track Ads where we can check you on your phone, and we can tell how close you are to a particular building, and we can pop an ad up on your phone, and we can tell whether you went in the building or not within close proximity to that ad, and we can tell that back to the business, and it's something that's... Something's up and coming.
Well, Brian Barnes, congratulations on 125 years. You and your family should be very, very proud. I mean, you've done tremendous work, tremendous community supporter. Congratulations. Well done.
And let me say congratulations to you on 75 years, and y'all do a fabulous job.
Well, thank you very much, Brian. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. All right, one more time, everybody. Fresh subs and salads 7 days a week. Prepared right before your eyes. We got this lady from Delaware who's going to lead us in the cheer. The white letters we all say out loud at the count of three. How do we do it here? 1, 2, 3. Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden. Not bad. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.